in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Now that piece of music was a great blessing to us.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
In the Gospel of Matthew, it's great to sing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to rejoice in what these great hymns have to say about the coming of our Savior into the world. It's also very important for us to take a few moments before we conclude our service, and it's a great privilege to do so, to think about what the Word of God has to say about Jesus Christ. And we considered this morning the fact that in the Gospel of Matthew, it says that Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What we want to do tonight, having considered this morning the fact that Jesus is called Jesus, Jehovah saves, we want to think this evening about the 23rd verse of Matthew chapter 1, which says, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now Matthew was quoting there Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, which says that the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now there's debate as to who this might refer to in Isaiah's day, but there is no question as to the fact that ultimately and unquestionably it refers to Jesus Christ, the one whom we've been singing about tonight. He is Emmanuel. And we want to think tonight about the significance of this wonderful name. It means, as that verse suggests, it means God with us. And what we want to do tonight is to try and unpack that a little bit, take the wrapping off, open up the box, and look at this indescribable gift from different angles and think about just how wonderful it is that our Lord Jesus is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. Let's think first of all about the fact that he is with us in our deepest need. Jesus is our Emmanuel, and he is with us in our deepest need. They did a survey, and they do the survey every year apparently, in England. And they survey children under 10. And they ask them a number of questions, like who's the most famous person in the world, things like that. And they also asked them this. They asked them, what's the very best thing in the world? What is the very best thing in the world? Well, number one, the best thing in the world is being a celebrity. Being somebody famous, some famous singer, some famous actor, some famous athlete. That's the best thing in the world, is to be a celebrity. Second, is to be good looking. Third is to be rich. Fourth is to be healthy, and so on. Heaven and God come in at number 10. Oh my. Well, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, that reminds us that we want to be very careful to teach our children. And we want our children to know that the very best thing in the world is to have God with you. That's the very best thing in the world. And we're going to teach our children that and pray that God will bless it to them so that one day they will not just parrot it back to us without really understanding, but one day they will, by God's grace, say that to us with all of their hearts and really mean it. That the very best thing in the world for them is to know that they are with God and that God is with them. Because the greatest news in the world really is what we saw this morning, that they will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that he is God with us. He is God come down into the world to be with us. There is nothing better that you can hear and nothing better than you can know and nothing better that can be a reality in your life than to know Jesus Christ as your Emmanuel. He is God with you. And he has come in order that he might save us from our sins. Jesus has come to dwell with us in our deepest need. When you read through the Gospel of Matthew, you realize this. Because he comes to the sick in order that he might heal them. And you read on in the Gospel of Matthew and you read that he comes to be with the demon-possessed so that he might liberate them. And you read also that he comes to those who are poor in spirit. They realize that they're spiritually bankrupt. They have nothing to offer. They have no righteousness of their own on the basis of which they can enter heaven. They're poor in spirit. They recognize their bankruptcy spiritually. And he comes to the poor in spirit so that he might bless them and take them to his heaven. And he comes to those who are care-ridden. They're weighed down with care and weighed down with anxiety. And he comes to rid them of their care. He comes to those who are lepers. And he cleanses them. One of the most marvelous scenes in the Bible is when Jesus comes in contact with lepers. And wonder of wonders, in his mercy and in his compassion, he reaches out and touches them. And his touch heals. And his touch saves. He is God with us in our deepest need. And we read in the Bible that Jesus comes to those who are diseased and he comes to cure them. He comes to be with those who are hungry and you know that he feeds them. He is the bread of life, he himself said, and if you eat that bread, you will never hunger again. And he comes to those who are caught up in sin to rescue them. You see, there is a torrent of misery that flows from our sin. There is great suffering and pain that is the result of our fallenness. But the glorious thing, my friends, is that the Lord Jesus has not left us in that state, but he has come here to this world to be with us, to be one of us, so that he might rescue us out of our deepest need, so that he might save us out of our desperate state. make us his own, make us God's children, and take us to his heaven. Charles Spurgeon said many years ago, the greatest blessing God gives us is his presence. If I could choose any of life's blessings, I certainly would not ask for wealth, because wealth cannot bring freedom from pain, concern, or anxiety. I certainly wouldn't ask for popularity, because there is no rest for the world's leaders. My choice, my highest honor, would be to have God with me always. So we praise God tonight for Jesus Christ, who is with us in our deepest need. Secondly, he is with us in our greatest trials. You see, the Lord Jesus is not just Emmanuel in the cradle. He is Emmanuel in all the crises of the lives of his people. You see, in the New Testament, Jesus is never again actually called Emmanuel. Now, he's called Jesus many, many times. And usually there are other terms added to that. And so he is usually the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Marvelous terms. But we never come to a text where he is called Emmanuel. Well, that's because this name really is more of a description of his character and of his position and of his relationship to us. Who is he to the Christian? If you've repented of your sins and you have genuinely trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you're not just a professing Christian, not just someone who hangs out with Christians, but someone who is genuinely converted, you are a child of God. Well, then Jesus Christ is Emmanuel to you. He's with you. And he is always with you. And he said himself, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The God and Father of Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Perhaps you remember that wonderful passage in the Old Testament, Isaiah 43, where God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Jesus Christ, you see, says one writer, is with you in every pang that rips your heart, and in every pain that tears your body. Do you feel the sorrows of poverty? Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you sorrowing? And Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. Have you been slandered and hurt? Jesus said, reproach has broken my heart. Have you been betrayed? You remember that Jesus had a friend who sold him for the price of a slave. Every stormy sea that has tossed you has roared around his boat also. And the marvelous thing then is that Jesus is with you. He is the sympathetic high priest who is, the Bible says, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so through all the most difficult times of life, the Lord Jesus is with you. It's interesting, you know, that the Bible doesn't so much emphasize that he's with us in times of blessing. It reminds us that in those times we ought to look to him and we ought to thank him. But it especially reminds us, and God especially sets this before us, remember this. In the midst of the fire, remember that he is with you. In the midst of the difficulties, remember that he's with you. He's always with you. In the challenges, in the darkest days, he is with you. And even when you come to the point where you face death, John Wesley, at the end of his life, he said this. Apparently, these are his last words. What marvelous last words, if these are your last words. The best of all is, God is with us. Imagine if that's how you come to the end of your earthly pilgrimage. And you can say and know the comfort of this. The best of all is that God is with us. And if you're someone who's lost loved ones, what a marvelous thing to know that God is with you. And His servants fall asleep and His servants are taken home and precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. And He takes them home. But the marvelous thing is that we who are left behind, God hasn't changed toward us. He remains the same. And God is with us through the rest of our lives. So there's a marvelous thing that God is with us in our deepest trials. And then lastly, He is with us as our quintessential joy. Quintessential means key. He is the joy, the fundamental joy, primary, cardinal, the heart of it all. That's who He is. Now the children said in that survey, they said, oh, you know, the best thing is to be a celebrity, to be someone that's famous in this world. Or the best thing is to have lots of money. And lots of things and lots of toys. But listen to the psalmist. The psalmist says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. And you see, the fact of the matter is that for the Christian, for one who's come to know Christ, you find that Jesus is the deepest and most profound joy of all of your life. You find that He is your joy and sorrow. He is your joy and sorrow. Because His presence brings joy even in the darkest days. Perhaps you remember this hymn, O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to Thee. I climb the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain that morn shall tearless be. So He is our joy in sorrow. And He is our joy in blessing. In the best days of your life, the Lord Jesus is the heart and soul of your joy. Because you rejoice not so much in the gifts that He's given, whether they're people or whether they're prosperity or whether it's good health or whatever the case may be. If you're a Christian and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't so much rejoice in the gifts, but you love the giver. You delight in the giver. The heart and soul of your joy is the giver. And you understand this hymn when it says, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine, since I know as now I know, I am His and He is mine. He is our joy in blessing. And everything has an element of joy to it because of what your relationship is to Him. And so you see everything as a child of God and can delight in the good things God has given because He is your joy. He's our joy in sorrow and He's our joy in blessing. And thank God one day He will be our joy in heaven. And that's the thing that makes heaven, heaven. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I just want to remind you about how marvelous that is. That Jesus said He was going away. If you're a Christian, He's going away to prepare a place for you. But then He says, I'm coming back. Not just to take you to that place. And it's going to be a great place. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells and the glory of God covers the earth like the water covers the sea. It's going to be a great place. But Jesus doesn't say, I'm coming back to take you to the place. He says, I'm coming back to take you to be with me. To be with me where I am. And that's what he longs for. That's what he prayed for in John 17. He says, Christian, I'm praying, Father, that you will be with me where I am. And he promises you, one day, your joy will be to be with him in his glory. So Jesus is our joy in sorrow. He is our joy in blessing. He is our joy in heaven. A number of years ago now, some of you will know Joe Shepherd. Brother Matt Richards and I went to visit him, and this was the last time we saw Joe. And Joe was in the nursing home. Didn't really remember us at all, but he knew we were Christians. And after he prayed, as he wanted to pray, he turned his wheelchair around and rolled away. It's the last time we saw him. And as he rolled away, he said, without even looking at us, he says, well, boys, I'll see you in glory. And he will see us in glory. And we'll see him in glory. But that's not what it's all going to be about. Because the great thing about heaven is that we will be with Jesus. And we will see him as he is. And we will be like him. He is our Emmanuel. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. We thank you for Jesus, who is our Emmanuel. God, come into the world to be with us. God, come here to rescue us. God, come here to be with us in all of the circumstances of our lives. And God, here to be our deepest and most profound joy. Lord, we thank you that you are Emmanuel to us. We thank you that you are with us even tonight and all the days of our lives. And we thank you, we who are Christians, that we look forward to heaven when we will always be with the Lord. We praise you. We thank the triune God for the glorious salvation that he has accomplished. And offer our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.